Hi, I'm glad you're here. Children, what are the words I want you to listen to today? What's the first one? Request. Okay, I'm going to, or ask, or something like that. If I say something like request or ask, you could mark that. What's the second one? The two words, right? Not yet. When I say not yet, you would mark that. Or wait. I know I'm challenging you a little bit to have different words, synonyms, words that kind of mean the same thing as that. What's the third word on the list? Buster. I just said it once. You know, I was sitting in Sabbath school class, and I could not help but get the impression that everyone is fine and dandy and all your prayers are being answered. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you guys are just living on the mountaintop all the time. But I suspect that's not true for most of us. I suspect probably for some of us, our prayers, we seem like our prayers are kind of like crop dusters' prayers, huh? I don't have it on my screen here, so just one second here. We had this working just fine earlier, but... Well, crop duster, what does a crop duster do? He flies low, maybe covers quite a lot of territory, but doesn't go very high. And see, some of you in your prayer life, you're more like a crop duster. You're not this Concorde jet. But in Sabbath school class, everyone was a Concorde jet. You can just kind of zone out and just forget about what I'm going to say then. Because you don't need any help. You're already flying. You're already living on the mountaintop and you have no plans of coming down. But if that's not the case, if your prayers seem to be more like a crop duster, flying low, never really seem to get any higher than that, I want to tell you that there are some reasons possibly that can really be busters, prayer busters in our lives. And that's what I want to address on this last day of 2005. And we have an opportunity to bring in a brand new year, a clean slate, a second chance. And I love second chances because my God is a God of second chances. And it's a time to come and just reflect, a time to think about your life. Take stock. Walk introspectively a little bit and kind of assess your spiritual life with Christ and specifically your prayer life. Because I'll tell you something, probably most of us feel the most guilty about the lack of praying in our lives and the lack of witnessing in our lives. Am I right? So I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anyone, but if the Spirit convicts, I hope you will heed His warning. I hope you will heed His conviction for you and for me. Amen? Because the Merrimack Church, if we're really going to be in tune with God's will and God's purposes and God's direction, we've got to be a praying church. It's just not going to happen without that. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And if we're not praying, we're going to miss it. Our sails will be down, the wind is going to be blowing, and we're going to be missing Him. And you are just really hurting yourself. And I'm hurting myself. And when we do that, we come together and we hurt the church. You are not an island, brothers, sisters. You are part of the body of Christ, and we're all connected. And whether we realize it or not, what impacts you impacts us. Amen? It's true. We don't see that. We're not always sensitive to that and aware of that. But it is a fact. The body of Christ in Scripture is a body that is so connected, interrelated, interdependent on each other. I cannot be the pastor God wants me to be without your help, leaders. No way. Can I be okay? Yeah. Can I make it by? Probably. But I will never reach God's full potential for me without your help. And I know that. I'm dependent on you. Not just depending. I'm dependent on you. I don't like that necessarily. I like to, you know, feel I am independent and mature and strong. Well, I am in some areas, in some ways. But when it comes to this, we are so interdependent in church life. Amen? So my hope, what I want to accomplish today, is to get you just to reflect on what some of the things might be that would just be prayer busters in your life. Just really take the wind out of your sails and just keep you a crop duster as a prayer warrior and not a Concorde jet, just soaring on heights new with Christ. Anybody want to soar? Crop dusting isn't bad, but soaring's a lot better. Amen? Wow. Praise the Lord. God is good. You know, that song Anthony sang, Anthony Ashby, wasn't that great? The only thing I would add to it, my voice? Woo! I know where my gifts are like that. My wife would tell me, don't do that. Yeah, but not good. I can sing. Not well. Yeah, I can. I can make a joyful noise. But you know, I think not only does God say, you know, I miss the time with you, and it hurts me when you're too busy for me. I think God is frustrated and hindered when we don't have that time with Him because His power can't just come into us and we're just not in tune. We're just kind of going through the day after day, same old, same old. And there's nothing wrong with that to some degree. Are you changing? Are you advancing? And I don't mean necessarily just in your job, climbing the ladder of corporate success. God has no problem with that unless you're leaving Him behind. Because the Bible says, what will it profit a man or a woman if they gain the whole world, and lose their own soul? Folks, and if we're not praying, we're losing perspective. Our priorities will become out of focus and askew. And I think God wants to accomplish in and through us things that, you know, just victories and advancement of God's kingdom, helping people. I just think God wants us to do so much for Him. And He's ready and willing to empower us, but we are just not ready to receive it. So this year, I just want to challenge you to test God. To try God. This year, make this a year where you just really, you make a conscious effort and commitment to grow. To grow. None of you here, including myself, we have not arrived. There's lots of ways for us to grow. Amen? Okay. That's a long introduction, isn't it? Well, you know what? I don't care about the time. We're gonna just stay here and I'm preaching. That's all there is to it. So prayer busters. I like to focus on basically three things. If the request is wrong, God's going to say, if the timing is wrong, God is going to say, or not yet. Right? And thirdly, if you're wrong, God says, okay, what's the first one? Okay, if the request is wrong, God says, if the timing is wrong, God says, slower, not yet. And thirdly, if you are wrong, God says, grow. Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, please. I want to read it with you, and then I'm going to put it up on the slide. Friends, I'm a little hesitant to just preach from slides with Scripture. Call me old-fashioned. Call me a stuck-in-the-mud kind of guy. But I believe that there's just power in the learning experience when we pick up the Bible, we open its pages, and we read it together. I just can't help it. Now, I'm going to have the slide up here. But I just think there's power in God's Word and engaging us when we behold it with our eyes and our hands and feel it, maybe smell it. I don't know. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I hear this text quoted quite often, but lots of times incorrectly. If my people who are called by my name. You know, that's a big if, though. A little word, but a big if. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What are the three actions God will do if we comply with the conditions that He requires? What will He do? What are the three actions here? Okay, first He hears. Amen? So that implies there must be times when He does not hear. Oops. What's the second action? Okay, first one is, then I will hear, and I will... I don't have forgiven there? But did I write this down incorrectly? Well, shame on me. Let's read it again. It says what? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. So I goofed. Good thing you got your Bible, amen? I don't even have those dots in between to say that was omitted. God's keeping me humble. Amen? So He will hear. He will forgive. I will hear. I will forgive. And I will heal your land. You know, that means He's going to heal all your physical needs. He'll heal your finances. He'll heal whatever's influencing your life, the making of your purpose in life. He's going to heal that. God says, I will do that if you will do this. Now, what does He want us to do? The first thing He wants us to do is humble ourselves. All right? First, humble and pray. They really kind of go together. Now, prayer is a learned experience. Prayer is a learned discipline. And yes, it is a discipline. It is a spiritual discipline. But being able to pray effectively, being able to pray fervently and meaningfully in a way that's fulfilling to you and to God, it's a discipline that you have to grow in. I hope none of you will leave here today and say, okay, I'm spending 1 hour praying every day, when you're not accustomed to spending 1 hour praying every day. That's like saying, you know what, I'm going to get in good physical condition, I'm going to get stronger, I'm going to grow, I'm going to build my muscles. I'm going to get all cut up, as they say in the weight lifting business, you know, cut muscles, just that they ripped. You know, anybody lift weights around here? Amen. You go to the gym, are you going to say, okay, I'm going to bench 350 pounds. Are you going to be able to do it? You got to be pretty strong if you're going to do that. If you're not in shape, put 350 pounds on the barbell and bench press it. So in the physical world, there's a connection with the spiritual world. If you're not used to doing that, you're out of your league. You have to build yourself up. A spiritual discipline is this. A spiritual discipline is something that you can do now. Okay? That'll help you to do something else later.
So what do you do? Don't say, oh, I'm going to I'm going to just commit, and by sheer willpower, I'm going to pray an hour a day. It's not going to happen after a week or two. It won't happen. But you can train yourself to pray more and more often, in more circumstances and more context, by just starting small, starting what you can do. Can anyone get on their hands and knees? Their knees, hands too, I guess, I don't know. Get on your knees and pray, or sit and pray for a minute. We can all pretty much do that. Be surprised. If you continue to do that, you can pray for two and three very easily without distractions, slowing the RPMs down in our minds. Huh? Right? So don't try to just change everything and just be a tremendous prayer warrior. And if you're bound and determined to grow, I would say prayer is the best place to start. If you're serious about it. So God is going to do that. How do we humble ourselves? Not easy. But part of that humbling is bringing the request to God and saying, is this request correct? Is this request right? Now, be it far from each one of us that we would make a wrong request. But if I read my Bible, there were some guys like James, John and James, right? And Peter, right? They went up to the mountain with Jesus. You remember that? Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. I hope that's correct. Matthew chapter 17. They made a request. They made lots of requests that were just not right. And I suspect that if they could make requests that were wrong, these three guys closest to Jesus, we could also make requests that are wrong. I could. Matthew 17. Am I right? Is that the right chapter? Verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. Isn't that pretty awesome? These three guys had this privilege to see that. His face shone like the sun. Wow. And his clothes became as white as the light. Sun and light. And wow. Can you picture this? Yeah? Pretty powerful. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. You know, that special resurrection for those guys. Huh? Elijah represents those who never die. They're translated, right? People who never experience death. And Moses represents those who die and are resurrected. Yeah, Enoch too. Enoch translated too. Yeah. And Peter answered. Okay, here's this experience. Now look at Peter's request. He says, Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And you know what? Jesus doesn't really say anything, but look what happens. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Listen. In other words, what Peter was asking, hey, Jesus, it's pretty neat that we've had this opportunity to witness this with you. Now, how about we build a tabernacle for you and Moses and Elijah, and how about we just stay up here for a while? Huh? How about we just chill? Let's just take it easy. And Jesus doesn't even answer the request. It's a no. It was wrong. It's the wrong kind of thing. And I suspect that you and I might make lots of wrong requests. And I'm going to get into why in a few minutes. But one reason is motivation. We can make a right request sometimes for the wrong reason. Let's say, does anyone want to see our church grow? reach people for God's kingdom. Amen? Don't we want to do that? Now, why do we want to do that? Do we want to impress people? Does the pastor want to have a big congregation so that I have lots of influence and power and popularity? Well, I hope not, but that could happen. And if that is the motivation for that, so that we look good, that's the wrong motivation. What's God going to say that for that? No. So here's a request that can be right, but the motivation is wrong. So what I'm asking is, are you taking stock of your requests? You can ask God for anything, amen? How about asking Him to be a millionaire? You can ask. Will He let you? Is that okay with God for you to be a millionaire? It depends on the motivation, right? Now, some of us would say, okay, God, you make me a millionaire, I'll build a brand new church. Right? You have ministries. And perhaps you would do that, but perhaps you would just go off and say, woo, thank you, God, I forgot about my pledge, my promise. Right? You know, basically what I'm saying is when you do make a request to God, when you've just come to the throne of grace and you just petition Him and you just ask Him for something in your life, think about it. Is this request okay with God? Here's a couple of few fast points that would help you to know if your request is correct. First of all, would it bring glory to God? You know, ask yourself, would it bring glory to God? In your estimation, would it advance His kingdom? That is, would other people be drawn closer to Christ? You notice the first two questions are not about you? Thirdly, would it help people? And fourthly, would it help me grow spiritually? I would say if you say no to any of those, and be honest in your request. Now, I'm not saying before you make a request, I got to get pastor's checklist, those 4 points. You'll learn that. You'll learn that. But your request can be wrong, and there's a test. 4 questions you can ask to kind of test your request. Okay, so the request is wrong. That is just not too hard usually, but you'd be surprised sometimes. You'll be surprised. How about the second prayer buster? Sorry, I don't want to jump to number 3. I didn't touch number 2 yet. Number 2. What's number 2? If your request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, slow. Not yet. Moms and dads, you know this one really well. Are we not a society on high speed? How many of you want your internet order the next day? How many of you want your pictures developed the next day? The same day. Cleaners the next day or same day. You wanted it yesterday. We are just that kind of society. And so when we come to God, we make a request, we have a timing in mind for God, don't we? Now, moms and dads, how many of you, when you take a trip to a neighbor or on a vacation or to a friend's house or something, family member, and you travel about 100 or 200 miles, how long does it take before your kids say, are we there yet? And you say, no, not yet. And it's not 5 minutes later they say, and you say, no, not yet. It is so true. We are often on our own timetable. We want things very fast, but you have to submit. This is part of the humbling. Part of the humbling is saying, God, is this request right for you? Other part of the humbling is this according to your timing? You don't know. God says in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And so you and I don't always know what the timing is, but I'll tell you something. God never shows up late. Amen? Never shows up late. And I remember when Denise and I were praying about coming to Merrimack. I know I bring this up every now and again because it's a big part of our lives.
It's huge. Things move so rapidly. I want to tell you, I had no idea of God's timing. None. I got a phone call. I think it was Thursday or... I was leaving on vacation to come here, like on a Tuesday. I got a phone call just a few days before that. Would you preach the Sabbath that you're here in the area? I'm on vacation. Wait a second. And I'm looking, God, this guy's making a request. I'm saying, am I open to God's timing? I could have just said, you know what? I'm on vacation. You're just going to have to pay for me to fly back out there. And I said to myself, that is not the right spirit. Not for me. I'm not saying it's the wrong spirit necessarily. Someone felt that way. That's between them and God. Amen? But I just felt that that was wrong for me to have that spirit. I just felt like, God, is this your timing? And not my timing. Because it wasn't my timing, amen? I was on vacation. Leave me alone. And Frank Talker calls me up and he says, Phil, would you come and preach? And I got contact with Sherry and Steve, and they didn't know me from Adam. And we got it together, gave him my sermon information. And here I was, my good wife. So, yeah, honey, you can do this. Go ahead. You know? It was so wonderful. She was very understanding about it. And how many of you were here when I came? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You came back. Maybe not by choice, no. And so it just worked out that way. And look, I'm here. We're here. And we're just so thankful. But what if I said, no, wait, you got to put the bill for me to fly back. Maybe that would have happened. I don't know. But God's timing seems to be right on time. So, you have to say, God, help. God knows the timing. He might say, hurry up. He might say, slow down. He might say, just not yet. Hang in there. And, part of the reason why He might say not yet is because He wants to teach us a little bit of patience and endurance and character building. Amen? But you know what we want? We want it easy. I know I do. So I have to ask God, okay, whatever it takes, Lord, just help me to be willing because I know You'll be with me through it. Amen? So the first prayer buster is your request is just flat out wrong. The second prayer buster is the timing is wrong. So you're just going to have to just depend on God, look for His timing, and be open to it, because God always arrives on time. Amen? You know what? One thing that really hinders our prayer life and our lack of praying, which is the biggest prayer buster of all, is prayerlessness. But really what hinders it is a lot of times when we don't hear from God, we think He's not listening. And it kind of takes the wind out of our sails, and we say, what difference does it make? Can I get a witness? Nobody? Thank you, sister. Thank you. Oh, no, only ladies said that. Only ladies. Well, guess what? It's just in human nature that if we don't get some kind of feedback and response soon, we kind of think, it's not working or something. Right? But remember, God's timing. That's what you have to remember. Amen? The third prayer buster, and it's probably the biggest one, but I'm almost done. Whew. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. Pre-John, hallelujah. What do we got up here? Oh, the test. Oh, I'm sorry. So the reason why the not yet comes in, test our faith, modify our request. That's a big one. You might need to change your request a little bit because develop character. All right. If you're wrong, uh-oh. If you're wrong, God says, grow. I think God wants to bless us. We're just not ready to receive it because we're just not there. And it hinders them. It hinders them. It hinders them.
What ways are we wrong? What ways could we be possibly wrong? Well, we mentioned earlier that our motives can be wrong. Right? Sure, our understanding can be wrong. That can go to our request being wrong and our timing being off. Yeah, sin. Remember it says, if my people will humble themselves and what? And pray. And there was a third thing. Seek my face. And another thing. And then turn from your wicked ways. Ouch. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, am I? You see, we come to church, and praise God we come to church. But there are times in our lives where we're not living up. Amen? But that's part of coming to church so that we can learn to live up. And prayer is such an integral part of that. And see, brothers and sisters, if you're wrong, the Bible says God will not even hear you. You will ask, but He won't hear. And you know, the children of Israel, turn in your Bibles to Malachi. Chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. You know Malachi, right? That's the last book in the Bible. Excuse me, in the Old Testament. Yes, not Revelation, we know is the last book in the Bible. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. I want you to go to chapter 2 instead of chapter 1. Verse 13. Now, through the prophet Malachi, God is saying, you know, He's reproving them. He's trying to correct them. Verse 13, Malachi chapter 2. And this is the second thing you do. This is God addressing how they are wrong and how it's a prayer buster for them. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so He does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Huh? Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. In other words, divorce was running rampant. Amen? And God was saying, I hate divorce. And He just goes up in verse 16. For the Lord God of Israel says that He hates divorce. And so the people were wrong. These guys were, they were divorcing their wives for burning toast. I guess that's a bad joke, but you know, it's a bad thing. You know? And God's saying, man, you're wrong, and you want to bring your thing to the altar. You want to bring your offering to the altar, but man, you are wrong. You are treating your spouses really treacherously, and you're asking this of me? Forget it. It ain't going to happen. Friends, God just cannot let His blessings flow when you are holding on to known sin in your life. Now, I'm not saying listen to me. And I'm going to end with this. This is real important here. I don't want you to miss this. If you will humble yourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn, repent. You're going in one direction, but you notice your wrong ways. You're going to turn. You're going to go the opposite direction. That's what repenting is. It's a 180. Pow. It's going in a different direction. Now listen to me. I want to share with you something Ellen White says. Amen? She says something in the book Steps to Christ. I believe it's page 95. This is what she says. Oh, I got that from Isaiah also. But listen to what she says. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, If we cling to any, the Lord will not hear us. But the prayer of the... Come on. Is always accepted. Notice what she doesn't say. You have to have complete victory over your shortcomings and sins before you can come to God. That is not what she's saying. But she's saying if you are repentant, humble, contrite, sorry, and the Spirit of God is convicting you, and you just cry out to God in your great need, you will always be heard. Oh, what a... Wow! Always be heard. That wrong stuff just leaves. And you just open up the floodgates for God's blessing. Wow! Ah, praise the Lord! Isn't that great? I read this and I almost fell out of my chair. So don't leave here saying, Pastor Phil says, I have to become totally victorious before God can bless me. No, I'm not saying that. But there's a big difference between clinging on to your sin and asking God to forgive you for it. Amen? Because you know what you do and I do if we cling to a known sin? We love that more than we love God. It's neutralizing the power of Christ in our lives. And eventually, if you hold on to it long enough, it will kill you spiritually. It will kill you spiritually. It'll kill you spiritually. It's serious stuff. Fight it. Fight that sin. Fight whatever it is that you don't, you know, just ask God for strength. Repent. You know, I am just so glad that we have a God who is able. And a God who is willing. Isn't God good? All the time. God is good. Boys and girls, before Anthony comes up and shares his musical talent with us, brother's going to play a horn over there. Before he comes up, boys and girls, how many times did I say request? How many? 13? 17. Okay, I can't hear you. I'm deaf. 18. I told you I can't hear you. 18? 27. 27. Wow. Okay, what was next? Not yet. How many times did I say not yet? 17. I'm a big mouth. Well, it's the times I say these words. And the third... I can say that, not you. Huh? You hurt my feelings if you call me a big mouth. I'm sorry. And the last one, what's the last word? I forgot what it was. Buster, yeah. Prayer buster. 20, okay, I said that a lot. Okay, so if the request is right, God says, if the request is right and the timing is right, and you are right. God says, and friends, listen to me. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. You come with a humble heart. Come seeking God's face. Come asking for forgiveness and repentance. Man, you just got God's full attention. I mean, you've got it. Amen? Praise God for that. Amen?
Father, we can hear sermons, read books, attend seminars on prayer, and self-help books. All good things. But Lord, nothing will teach us how to pray unless we just do it. Just praying. So I just ask, Lord, at the last day, last Sabbath of 2005, that we would just reflect a little bit today on what we've heard. And that you would help us to become a better praying people. Just please help us, Lord. We love you. We want to serve you. We want to see your glory shine throughout the community in which we live. We want to see hearts touched, lives touched by the cross of Christ. So I just pray that you would help us to be the people you want us to be, so that your name would be glorified, Lord. So that your kingdom would be advanced. And Jesus will come soon. Maybe even 2006. We're open to your timing, Lord. So please, we thank you. Keep us. Renew us over and over again, Lord. And we just pray that 2006 would be a great year for your kingdom and for your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.